Last time that I checked, it was 5 chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rep. Last time that I checked, I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked.
Welcome to TNT Hoops, episode 12, April 1st, 2019. I'm here once again with the co-host, Quitty Slang. What's good?
What's good, Sully?
Same thing, man. Heavy hearts today. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle.
Yes, sir. I had to lean in with that Nipsey. Just a tough situation, unfortunately, to see another, you know, African-American brother shot down by gun violence. But you know, this is becoming so accustomed in our culture that it's becoming normal, but it's really not.
Yeah, man.
So definitely our condolences to Nipsey Hussle. Pray for his family, his beautiful girl, Lauren London, and their kids. Crazy situation.
Yeah, as you said, I would just like to reiterate that, man. It just kind of sucks to always have these conversations and talk about gun violence and, like, our brothers shooting down our brothers.
Right.
It's tough to see. It's tough to hear. All I can really say is, once again, our condolences to...
Yeah, and just to touch on that a little bit further, affected. We don't really know, you know, can't really say yet who actually killed him and who murdered him. So, but just...
Gun violence in the community, yeah, man. It doesn't even have to be black on black, but just somebody that is your brother and that lives near you and that is within the community. It was at his store, right?
It was right outside his store,
yeah. So it's just...
It's sketchy. It's definitely sketchy. It's sketchy, yeah. Too. So we'll leave it there. But definitely our condolences to Nipsey and his family.
All right. So we kind of want to just, once again, get into our basketball topics. We have the Sixers went on a 2-0 run this week since the last time we recorded. Our first game beating the Brooklyn Nets.
A 2-0 run, you hear my man.
A 2-0 little casual run.
We lost two in a row, though. We never lost three games in a row this year, so those two were strong after losing to the Hawks, and we lost two.
Magic, I believe.
Yeah, I think Hawks it was and Orlando back-to-back. You know, those I was chalking those up as Ws, but you get caught slipping.
After being Boston and Milwaukee, man, you're kind of just...
You got that low.
Yeah, on a ride. But yeah, we beat the Nets 123-110. Notably, one of the teams we're probably going to play in the playoffs, depending on if them and Brooklyn are fighting for that sixth spot right now. Embiid had 39, 10, 4, and 1. Another great performance for him. 16 free throws. What do you think?
I mean, what do I think? I mean, man, we being a dead horse, man. This dude, he's the best five man in the league. He's the best center in the league. It's great to have him on our side. But... I mean, yeah, he dominated those last two games like he needs to do.
Yeah, the Nets don't really particularly have a big that can even keep up with him on a game. Right. He's trying to throw Allen and Hollis Jefferson at him.
But the thing is, the thing was good to see, like we were saying earlier, it's good to see, you know, us play Brooklyn because, you know, it's a potential playoff matchup. It's not looking like we're going to play them now.
Yeah.
It's
looking like... Just their schedule, they have Milwaukee, Indiana, Miami to close. So they're probably going to sit in that seven.
Yeah, behind Detroit. So that's probably what we're going to get. But just to see, though, you saw Brooklyn was trying to play so small. They were going like Rondé. They had Rondé Hollis-Jefferson actually played against him in high school. They had Rondé Hollis-Jefferson playing the five so much. You know, they were going to pick and roll, try to get him to the rim before Embiid can get there and help. And then on offense, they were kind of just like packing the paint. And, you know, when Embiid got the ball, they were doubling down, just playing five.
Trying to help out with like Damari Carroll. That was
right, forwards. Like,
so, and he had a good game. He had 19, 10 boards. Rondé.
No, he was playing well.
That's why
they were attacking us because they were small. They just attacked us.
But they won't beat us, especially if their guards like Russell and Dinwiddie don't play well. I think Russell only had 13 points with 7 turnovers that game.
What did Dinwiddie have? I know Russell struggled to get going.
Dinwiddie also had 13.
So if you hold them to a 26 combined, I mean – yeah. They both get their 20 usually, and that's when they're really a really good team. You know, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, and LeVert's still trying to find his rhythm. He had 18 that game, so I guess he had a better game than as of late for him. But, you know, still.
Wait, who had 13?
18. Caris LeVert had 18 points that game. Caris LeVert, okay. 6-for-14
shooting. Yeah, he was surprisingly, after he came back from his injury, he hasn't been fitting in as well with.
Russell kind of just took over the team as the primary ball, and LeVert was actually the one that was doing that at the start of the year. And then the second game that we played last night, on the 30th, or 2 nights ago, actually, on the 30th of March against Minnesota.
Jimmy Butler's return to Minnesota. It was funny. You saw, did you see when he got hurt? I don't know if you, like, he got hurt. He's going up for a Ben throw him a lob, and he grabbed it in the midair. He missed it, though. He, like, he could have dunked it. I don't know why. He just tried to lay. He missed it, and he came down, like, awkward, boom. And he, like, I guess he, like, grimacing, and, like, his back, he hit his, like, he was tight on his back, and the Minnesota fans just cheering. Like, it was the top, like, Brett Brown called a timeout, so Jimmy Butler, the only one on the court, and they just still cheering. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
They're, like, no love lost in Minnesota, man.
Yeah, more rightfully so as well.
Whatever.
That game was without Embiid. We were up, like, 68-55 at halftime, so we were coasting, you know what I mean? And I think Minnesota started to tighten it up. It was, like, a three-point game in the fourth.
Yeah, my fault to cut you off. We were only up 13 at halftime, but we were up by, like, 20 in the first half. Yeah. Like, we had good stretches. I don't know. That game just showed – you know, when we play without Embiid, Brett plays the three bigs, Jonah, Boban, and Amir. So we'll talk about that more later, but that was something he did last night. Tobias, good to see Tobias get rolling again. I think he had 23 last night. So it's probably one of the better games.
Yeah, 25. Yeah,
25. My bad.
6 and 7, and he's been kind of cold recently.
Not necessarily cold, but
Over the last 10, just like 16, 8. He's been because as our kind of guy that fits in.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll go on those stretches to where like, he won't touch the ball, and that's fine. Like, we're winning games, just right, as we said.
If Jimmy Butler's great at the end of the games and Embiid's bringing you through the game, I mean, Tobias may go stretches where he's not touching the ball, especially when you have to post Ben up. And you got to get JJ going. You
but
know,
as long as he stays ready, and when games like this where we're kind of cold and the Timberwolves have to shorten the gap, like
he can go get a bucket. Yeah. Man, that's just what strictly what it comes down to. But yeah, so we're gonna our Sixers whole Sixers segment tonight is kind of based off one of our local subscribers, listeners, somebody I actually played against in college. His name is Malik Killen, MKillen5 on Twitter. And just to give you a little brief overview on Malik, he's actually the all-time leading scorer at Muhlenberg. He scored 1,900 points. Just crazy. Pass the ball, bro. Nah, but he was he was fifth all-time in three-point shots with 142. Free throws, he was second, 486. So he was, like, getting to the line all crazy. Little James Harden, 5'9". 306 assists, so he was dominant. He was all-time leading in assists, I believe. Or he was up. You know, he definitely wasn't all time with 306, but he was up there. And steals, he was all time leading. So
second or third. But
like we did our best. We did our research for you. So we definitely got to give you a good rep, man. You definitely you're definitely a subscriber, a listener. You support. You retweet all our all our shit. So. Yeah. No, I definitely gotta show you your love.
Leak, I can tell you, Quiddy grimacing right now, man. He's a little sick.
Listen,
having to say all that because he was cooking even college.
Listen, man, the first 2 years we played against them, they beat us. But I love playing against him because he was one of them dudes, like, he would cook you, but he would talk his shit while doing it. And that's how we play, where we from. I mean, look, I respect the game, respect game. So definitely, yeah, but I definitely had to show you love, bro. You know, I know you want to come on the pod. So. We trying to, build this foundation, this platform first, but then we'll start getting some more guests.
All right, but what did he say, though?
But, Malik, he hooked us up, you know what I'm saying? He did our Sixers segment. He responded to our tweet. First thing he just wanted to know is, with Embiid sending out this road trip, like, how is Brett going to, develop the rotation? How, is he going to get it, us going into the playoffs, how is he going to, get us to the Eastern Conference Finals? So, what do you think?
So, upcoming, we got Dallas and Atlanta on the road trip.
Yes,
Dallas tomorrow night. Rick Carlisle's a real good coach.
Great coach.
I think they actually squeaked out the win 106-103 today against OKC without Luka Doncic. So
against
OKC. OKC's just really struggling since the All-Star break. But I think kind of the game plan for that is just how we went into Minnesota, right? Like, have the focal point be not necessarily all on Jimmy Butler and all on Tobias, but making sure those guys are kind of getting rolling, getting consistent shots, and kind of being the main, I guess, go-to guys for our offense and staggering them.
I think just in general when Embiid sits, like I was saying a little earlier, it's just better when you know, our big, we play three bigs. It's not really necessarily better because we, I don't know, in the playoffs, we're going to have to figure out which guy's going to play each and every night and in what series. But I think it's good to see what lineups, you know, Amir plays better in. Or what lineups you can throw Boban out there for 10 minutes and give you an efficient, you know, 8 to 10 points, you know, dunking the ball without jumping.
Yeah.
Or Jonah Bolden stretching the defense out, shooting threes.
Did a really good job against that with Minnesota.
He hit five threes last, after five or six threes last night, you know what I'm saying, career high. So, it's just dependent. I like when Embiid's not playing, we kind of can see, you know, what big, who's actually backing up Embiid in, you know, certain situations.
Yeah, but it's going to be a struggle on the boys because Kleber and they have a lot of guys that are real active just around the glass. So
they're a young team with nothing to really prove and nothing, not prove, but nothing to really lose. So they just out there balling. So, I mean, we got to go in there and get a dub. We got to at least split that. You know, Mavs, Hawks, I think we get two W's. I think we definitely beat Atlanta because they beat us in Atlanta a couple days ago.
And they
ago.
Just had a tough game against, well, not, I mean,
it's going to be regardless of when it's going to be, I just think we come back out there. No Embiid, it's going to be a different type of game plan for them. I know their coach knows us pretty well, but we'll be all right.
How do you think Ben plays in that game, I think? Because they're probably going to put Doncic on him for a little bit. I don't see who else
they can't stop him. He's too small.
But who else would do you think Dallas – I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr., probably not.
I mean, Ben's a matchup problem, depending, no matter who you put on him. So, I mean, when I go into games, I don't really look at, like, how's Ben going to do this, that. It's one team that gives Ben fits, and it's Boston, because they build that wall.
Yeah.
And they just let Embiid shoot threes, and they have Al Horford, who can, for some reason, guard Embiid better than most guys. But, when I look at Ben going into the games, I don't really look at it, like, how's Ben going to play.
You know? Understood.
But, yeah, like he was saying, how can, you know, how do you think we can take that leap this year, you know, and go to the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, we went second round last year. Like, how can we win that second round, which right now is looking like it's going to be against Toronto. It's pretty much going to be against Toronto because they're the 2 seed and they're not catching Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, going up to Toronto, I think it's pivotal that we take, like, just like in any series, like, especially if you don't have the home court advantage. You have to steal a game instantly.
You have to.
Obviously, we didn't do a good job of that against Boston last year, which kind of screwed us. Big adjustment that we'd have to make against them, I think, really exposing Lowry anytime that he's stuck on one of our perennial guys. He's a good defender. He's scrappy enough, but I think it's just I don't know, man, because I really don't think we match up well against Toronto. And to be fairly honest, I think we lose that series.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be a lot of – where Brett Brown's going to get a lot of flack.
Brett Brown won't be here if we lose this
series. Yeah, and
I hope you know that.
To be fairly honest, I kind of – right now how it's looking, I think we will. We don't really have a bench. This question's kind of started to turn into me thinking – all the ways we can lose a series.
I don't play devil's advocate because I got some stuff down how we can beat them.
All right, so what do you think then? I guess I'll flip it back to you.
Right, so I can tell you like what I would do and what I think we need to do.
Okay.
You know, to beat a Toronto or a Milwaukee or whoever. I think we match up very well against Milwaukee, actually. I don't know. You agree with that?
Yeah, we match up way better against Milwaukee than Toronto.
Well, Toronto's deep. They got a lot of guys. So I think the answer – you know, the bigger question here, like, how can we, you know, get past that round? I think our rotation is so top heavy. So we have to, you know, like, our role players have to play their roles. Whether that means you get on the court for 8 to 12 minutes in a playoff game, you have to do what you did in the regular season very efficiently in a short manner of time and get it done. Like the TJ McConnells, the Mike Scotts, James Ennis, right? And then I was talking about those bigs earlier. Like, what bigs are we going to play? Is it going to be Boban? Because you're only going to go 8-9 deep.
Yeah, I guess he could play against Toronto for sparing stretch.
Who are we talking
about? Boban.
Yeah, he could. I mean, Marc Gasol and Ibaka. I mean, not like blazing speed. Like, Gasol will, you know, Gasol's crafty. I'm not saying Boban's going to dominate these dudes, but he can play against them.
And then
I mean, like I said, you still have Amir and Jonah to see, you know, which big. I mean, you have a whole series to figure out what really works. But
I think when they throw Pascal at that five, like when they want to kind of go just Pascal and Kawhi for those stretches, I think we can have Boldman for those games.
We play Tobias and Bennett 4 and 5, or you can just keep Embiid out there. Embiid can play against anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I think we can make it work within 8-9 guys as long as those 3 guys off the bench are giving you something. If that makes sense, because in a sense you have the best starting five in the league. Like, yeah. Nobody wants to say because, okay, Golden State, you got those, you know, experienced guys out there. They've won, what, two back-to-back championships. But Draymond Green is not giving you what Tobias Harris can give you at his best. And Joel Embiid and DeMarcus Cousins isn't even an argument at this point. Yeah. Not even a debate at this point.
Yeah.
So
let's stay on topic, though. I understand.
I'm saying in general. So our first five is so dominant, can be so dominant, that if you just have three, four guys come off the bench and do what they have to do,
I don't like to rely on that, because just like you said, Toronto has the best bench in the league, though, you know.
But we have the best starting five in the league. So if you're depending, if you want your starting guys playing 35 to 40 minutes, it's a playoff series. So you get two days rest. If you got Embiid playing 35, 40 minutes, Embiid go get you 35. Like, we need you to be great. We need Jimmy to go get his 25. We need Ben to get his 20. We need Tobias to get his 15 to 20. We need JJ to get his 15 to 20. And then your starting five dominates, and then those guys that come off the bench, yeah, they have to do their thing, and we have the team to do it. Like, we could beat them. It is. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy task. That team is deep.
I see a lot more ways that we can lose. I guess it's just what I want to say.
Okay, like, I mean, you can say that, yeah. But like you were saying, well, Lowry, man, they got him on JJ Redick, but you bring in. You just make adjustments. We haven't seen this Nurse dude with Nick Nurse. We haven't seen him in the playoffs, man. I mean, what has he shown? Like, at least
he has shown a good. He's shown an ability to attack like our biggest weakness, which I think sometimes is just Ben. Like when he packs the paint, like, mm-hmm, he does a really good job. Like, he's like kind of like himself.
I don't know how they're gonna do it, like, but they play Ben up. They guard up on Ben, and Kawhi does, and Siakam does. They get up and, you know, use their length and fucking.
It's like messy down there, I guess is what I want to say. Like, we get very few second chance points when, like, right, a shot goes up, and like Pascal and Ibaka, like, they do a good job of just kind of keeping us off of the glass. Like, I don't know, it's just all the things that we do really well, they kind of nullify.
No doubt. I'm not denying that it will be a fucking tough. Like, we'll probably have to be six or seven, obviously. Well, it'll have to be six or seven, obviously, but.
And then it'll be a tough
series, but I can see us winning that series. It's just, you know, to answer that question, like, what we have to do is just those guys off the bench just have to be solid. And you say you can't bank on that, but, like, how much are you asking from T.J. McConnell? Like, dude, come off the bench. Yeah.
Brett's feel for the game, I guess, is what I think where he can improve. Like, his feel for a lineup and being able to, like, sometimes T.J. can't stay on the floor. Right. Like, T.J. may only have to get those 2 minutes that you gave him and pull him right off the floor, and he doesn't play for the rest of the night.
Let's touch on that a little bit, too. Like, there's a couple. I mean, Shake Milton. I need to say this about him. Like, they're not even considering giving him a chance because, you know, so late in the year, try to get him in a rotation, especially a playoff scenario. It's crazy. But I mean, the kid is 6'5". He can score. Like, they know he can score. He averages 25 out in the G League. Like, he's third leading scorer in the whole G League. He can score. Like, I know it's the G League, but scoring 25 a night consistently is still tough to do. He does that. You're not telling me he can't get you 6 to 8 points off the bench, probably more than that. And that's what TJ's giving you, 4 or 5, you know what I mean?
As much as I love the TJ spark, man, like, that spark can necessarily come from somewhere else.
Right,
you know,
it doesn't necessarily mean TJ can't play.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean TJ can't play 5 to 10 minutes in a playoff game, but it's just like, for him to be your backup point guard every single night playing 15, 20 minutes, sometimes that might hurt you. That's just how, you know, that part of the bench goes. But I think Ennis has been playing well in his role. Mike Scott, you kind of know what you're going to get. He's either going to make or miss his threes, and he's going to give you that grittiness, and he'll have the occasional slash to the basket, and then the bigs. Yeah.
And just putting Embiid in the right spots, man. Like, as long as we can get him to get to the line 16, 18 times a night, like, that's just a recipe to win, man. And as long as I think Brett Brown's been doing an awesome job of helping him get to damn near 40 and 16. All right, what do we got next?
That's enough Sixers talk for today. Sixers fans, I hope y'all enjoy those segments, those parts we do. Definitely important to touch on our hometown team. Diehard Sixers fans, so you know we got to talk our Sixers. But let's have some fun right now, though. This NCAA is Final Four now. The top dogs, all the top dogs seem to be out, man. Obviously, we're going to start. Duke took the L today. I had them winning it all just because I felt Duke's best game is better than anybody else's best game.
As did I, man.
But it is. So in the Final Four, we have Michigan State versus Texas Tech. Should be a good game. I mean, not exactly who people expected to be here, but you know, Texas Tech, like we were saying last time, they have that kid, Jared Culver. He's a pro. Michigan State, you know, they have Cassius Winston, All-American.
Yeah, he played a hell of a game today as just, like, the leader of the basketball team.
He's
such a smart player.
Like, he's not that athletic, but he just was, like, he's thinking the game through. And I love, like, watching players like that because it's, like, I'm outwitting you every time. Like, every I'm making the time. Right decision every time. Yeah. He averaged 19 this year, 19.8, well, 18.8, so basically 19, 7.6 assists. And three rebounds, shooting 47 from the field, 40 from three, and 84 from the line. So he can shoot the ball. He got great touch.
Yeah.
8 assists a game. He's getting everybody involved. He's been doing this for a couple years now. Seems like he's been there forever. But, yeah, you got them. You got Michigan State going against you got Izzo going against, you know, Texas Tech. I might even want to ask you for a prediction on that.
I think Michigan State, I've seen enough out of them.
Texas Tech, bro. They've been killing teams. They killed, I think it was Buffalo. They smacked Buffalo. Yeah. And then they've been killing teams. Like, they've looked really good. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. And then on the other side of the bracket, you got Auburn. You got Auburn versus Virginia. Should be another great game. You got Bruce Pearl, the craziest head coach on the sideline. He'd be going crazy. And then you got Tony Bennett for Virginia. Virginia actually made it to the Final Four this year. The one year I don't pick them, yeah, they actually keep winning. So
Bruce Pearl, man, the other day, because as I said, like, I'm not the biggest college basketball fan. I remember he used to coach Tennessee, and seeing him as the coach of Auburn and then going and beating North Carolina, that was one of the best performances I think I've seen from, like, an Auburn team, like, in my lifetime.
Bro, this team, they're fun to watch. And then, right, I was telling you this earlier, it's like, yeah, Duke's out, yeah, UNC's out, yeah, Kentucky's out, but some of these teams, man, they're still fun to watch. Like, they got players. Like, this Auburn team, they got the Jarrett Harper kid playing point guard. He's experienced. Yeah. Season. I think he's either a junior or senior. I believe he's a junior season. The coach, you can tell Bruce Pearl loves him. Actually, Samir Dowdy, he's from around here. He's from Philly. He plays for Auburn. He's kind of like the do-it-all guy.
Yeah.
Then you got the Bryce Brown kid, dude, who wears the headband. It's actually funny. He gave the ball up at the end of the game today. Game was tied. He threw it to the wing. He came off a ball. He came off a ball screen. This was the end of regulation. He came off a ball screen, and they doubled him. And he threw it to like a throwback pass to the center or whatever, or the four-man, whatever. Big kid. Shot it, and he missed. And if you look on the replay, Bryce Brown's, like, running to the ball, like, going like this, you know, asking for the ball. And he's like, yo, man, give me that shit back, man. And you see him going he's going to the timeout.
Yeah.
But they still won in overtime.
And that's I think my friend Cool was saying this earlier. Like, I said, it's the cool thing about the madness, because just, like, I don't know. I'm not in touch with college basketball, but seeing a team like Auburn going on a magical run like this and just outplaying teams, like, you could tell, like, they're not as talented as UNC with guys like Kobe White, Luke May, who's not obviously not the key guy, but what's the Cam kid with the Johnson. Hair? Yeah, Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, Auburn. Well, I started watching them a little later in the year. They dominated the SEC tournament. They dominated it because they get up threes. They shoot a lot of threes, mm-hmm. and they get them up, like. And their percentage isn't that crazy. They probably shoot around, like, 37% from three as a team. They're probably, like, top 20 in the country.
Yeah, but if a majority of your shots are threes,
they get a lot of them up. Yeah, you're going on a stretch. Guys can make a lot of different type of threes. You know what I mean? The catch and shoot, the off the bounce, and transition. You know what I'm saying? All those type of threes. So,
well, God, he rebounded the ball, turned, stepped back, and hit a three today. Like, that's such a tough shot. And the confidence of Moxie, I think it was Brown that hit that.
And let's just hit Virginia a little bit. They got a Kyle guy. This kid been playing there for a couple of years. He can shoot the shit out of the ball. I
think DeAndre Hunter is
43%.
Crazy.
Yeah. DeAndre Hunter, he's like a grown man right now. Played down the street at Front Central. He could hoop. I saw him play when he was real young. And I was like, he was tall like that, but he wasn't all brawl. He wasn't all husky how he is now. And I was like, yeah, this kid, I don't know. I didn't think he was going to be this good because he's like a top. He's like top 10 on the draft boards. But yeah, he's in that game. I mean, there's a lot of good players on both sides. I think the Final Four should be, you know, very fun to watch.
Interesting, but not as interesting. And I think that's just my gripe with it being an NBA guy. Like, it's just, like, I care, but I think sometimes, like, it would be cool to have a three-game series within, like, the NCAA tournament.
So, yeah, that's what we were talking about. So, yeah, So like, we were having that discussion a little bit earlier. This is so like you said, you think it would be better to have a 3-game tournament, and yeah, that's just it's definitely an angle you can take, is because like, you know, you play, you go and you play one team.
Yeah, I get the madness aspect of it, of just bringing in a group of 64 teams and just having everyone play it out, and at the end of the month, like there's an overall champion. But if you have a team like Duke that people have been waiting to see all year, right? And this sounds a little bitter because obviously it's like I predicted Duke was going to win this game today, but three guys are going to be in the NBA draft next year. You would like to
four
guys are going to be in the NBA draft. You would like to see them actually have an opportunity to go up against make adjustments against, just like you said, against a team like Michigan State and come back the next night and see coach, what would Coach K do, you know, instead of just, oh, you find out they're playing them and 24 hours they have to be prepared and ready to go.
So yeah, just from experience too, like my freshman year we won the championship and we played in the NCAA tournament and I wasn't in the rotation, but just seeing, because we had a kid score 29 and a kid score 26, and on the next night they were done, like they were cooked, like, you know what I mean? They were cooked physically. Not saying they should be, but just how quick the turnaround is, and then you're going to play against another team that you have 2 hours to scout. You know what I mean? So I think, like you said, it would definitely be interesting if they opened it up to have, you know, a best 2 out of 3 series. I mean, I think it would make it longer
or even shorter,
be more games. But yeah, make less teams. I don't know, but it's not. I'm not even saying like they have to do this, but this is definitely just an idea. It's a
different angle, man.
Because it's tough to really gauge who's the best team in a country from one game. Anybody can beat you in.
And that's just me. And that's just our opinion on it. Like, cause it's cool sometimes because like you have a team like that has forced like a lot of seniors like Michigan State that will make a deep run and it goes down the storybooks. Right. But like when you're looking at the next level of basketball, I think we're taking, for us, like we're watching basketball from these guys from young to old. Like, you want to go back and say, oh yeah, I remember when KD like had the 2-game series against
the 2-game.
Yeah, like I don't know, man.
He came back down. Yeah, I mean, it is like, what it is.
It would be cool to see more.
Think about if you know this Duke series. Just, I mean, just take this Duke game today for instance. That Michigan State was so good. You know, say Coach K comes back and makes an adjustment and Duke wins game, you know, game two by, say, 15, 20 points, blow them out. Like, they make a crazy adjustment. Everybody think the series is over. Then they go play game three and it goes down the wire. It goes down the wire a couple overtimes, you know, just because both teams now know exactly all this stuff and it just really shows.
The product would be so much better.
It'd be lit. I think it'd be definitely, you know.
Because there is, but it's just like a scramble almost at the end of games. And I think that's where we're kind of getting at. Like, you can just kind of
playing all nervous and shit because you get one shot. You get one shot at it. And, damn, RJ. Yeah.
And like, it's not fair to just kind of pin it on him because, like you said earlier, there's a lot of plays that go into a loss.
Oh, yeah, I would never pin it on him. I know what it feels like to miss 2 free throws down a stretch like that.
It's just tough, man. It's tough to see. That's the last time we'll see those three guys together, man.
I know, bro. I was like genuinely sad. I'm like, yo, even if you don't like Duke, there's no way you'll
never see a collection of talent.
It's just such a like, and the thing is, people. I was saying this. That's such a top heavy team, man. Like you see, you know, those three kids, and you have Trey Jones, who's, you know, a pro. He's gonna be a pro point guard, probably a backup in the league, but he Bolden, really locks up. He
Jack White great. Over 82-3. Like
Jack White can't, like they have the kid. I think some Goldwire. He doesn't even look at the rim, bro.
Yeah.
He put him in. He guards, but he doesn't even look at the rim. Like, they had a couple kids that didn't really do much.
Do you think that's a product kind of just, like, you're playing now with those three stars, and so it's just like you're kind of mesmerized by, like, what they do on the court? And
whatever I put up right now is not better than what they can potentially get. Yeah. It's, like, one of those things. Yeah. And you're 18. These kids are 18, 19 years old. They don't even – their game isn't even crafted out to what it's going to be.
And they also had
like Zion's move, like, so we want, let's, we should talk on Zion a little bit too, obviously, because Zion is fucking Zion. But he literally does a drop step, right drop step, and just jumps as high as he can to his left side to finish it. Like, that's his post move. Like, that's his dominant post move. And like, everybody has to have that one move. Like, people think, oh, you know, if you're a post guy, like, you have to have a million moves. Like, no, you have to have one or two moves that are dominant. And he just has a drop step. He jumps as high as he can, lay it over you, or finish through contact, and that's transcendent. Yeah. That's something you can't teach. So we wanted to talk on what Zion's, what's his true skill, what are his skills, what's his actual skill set. So what do you think about that?
In today's game of positionless basketball, where you have like a lot of bigger guys that are able to push the ball, and you have guys like that can play in the post, can play on the wing. I think, just like I've said before, his talent is like it's almost perfect. It's perfect for a coach and an NBA organization to be able to mold and turn into something that can be dominant. And I think it's a lot easier for it to be dominant than for it to just be regular or average, as I think a lot of people have been saying. Like you yourself have also heard it. Like a lot of people think that Zion's just going to be not okay, but just good at best, and he's going to be like a Blake Griffin. But what I see in the talent,
man, Blake Griffin is great. So
yeah,
he's a great player.
Yeah,
like
above average. Yeah,
he's a great player.
Like averaging 24 this year.
All star. I mean, his situations haven't been ideal, but he's a great player. So people saying, "Oh, he's just going to be Blake." Like, what does that even mean? Like, if Blake Griffin didn't get tear his knees up 1,000 times, you know how good he would be. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think Zion's actually going to be better than Blake. Like, I think
IQ coming out. I'm not to interrupt you.
No, you can go ahead. It's just his feel. Yeah, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
His feel for the game is just like it's a lot better than I had imagined when I first saw him coming out of that small ass cone in Spartanburg. Like you could just see like he could pass out of the post real quick, hits RJ right in the shooting pocket.
He's a natural. Yeah. Like it's whatever. Like this is what I was saying about Zion that I think is crazy. If you watch him play, right? So you know. Whatever, RJ's top of the key today. He swings it hard, over the head pass, boom, to the corner. My DeSales boys know. Coach Mora, top of the head pass, boom, to the corner. Zion just catches it in rhythm, and he put that ball right on his shoulder, and it's all in rhythm now. Boom, yeah. Shoots it, knocks it down. It's like everything he does is like, it doesn't seem like this, like, because people say he doesn't have like a true skill set and doesn't look, because he can jump off the gym. So yeah. Everything he does, everything else he does besides dunk and get crazy rebounds, and
just looks average.
Just looks like, yo, why? Ew, he can't really.
But he shoot. Does it and he converts.
But he does it. And it's almost like, that's just the point. Is just like every other thing he does is like he's not doing it off of skill, people say. Like, oh, he's not really skilled. Well, what do you call 6'7, 280 coming at you on fast break, in and out? You got 5'10 guards shifting on one side of the court, and then you in and out to the right, and you going back left and throwing it down on the whole team. Like, what do you call that?
Yeah.
What do you call throwing Dom's full court?
One-hand bounce pass, yeah.
Skip off the bounce perfectly right into the guy's hands, laid up. Like, what do you call that? He's throwing lobs to RJ. He's doing everything on the floor. And the biggest thing with Zion Williamson is, look how athletic he is. All that stuff cannot be taught. You cannot teach somebody how to jump 45 inches off the ground. You just can't. You can't teach somebody how to block three-point shots. He blocks. He doesn't contest shots. He just blocks them.
Exactly. Like he recovers so quickly. He gets beat off the dribble, and it's like, damn. Like, boy don't even know Zion's behind. He about to pin this shit. Like, and it's every single time.
He's contesting big shots, guards, whatever it is. And then the rest of the game, the skills that all follow. Can be developed. That all can be developed, though. Exactly. It follows. Like, it's guys that are opposite. The Kyle Kuzmas and stuff, like the guys that have all the whole skill set, and then they kind of pan out early because it's like, all right, you can do all this stuff now in the league. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have, you know, the body and the stature.
That extra, like, where, oh, you're like the faster guy in the league. Right. You're like, you're kidding. Right. You're longer than everyone. You can just get a shot up at any time. Like, and with Zion, it's just. He, like, this is something that I think people overlook a lot. He works harder than anyone else on the floor. Like, like for him, like,
his
early in the game, he's
getting
three offensive rebounds. Like, you don't get offensive rebounds on Michigan State in the manner that he was just, mine, go right back up. Like, just the only person down there. You got to think, like, today, like, against a team like Michigan State, without him, like, that game could have got ugly for Duke. Like,
that team's top heavy, man. I kept saying, like, I mean, you got RJ who can score off the bounce, so that's the only reason he can kind of play in the flow of the game. Cam Reddish is kind of standing off the ball, not doing much. Yeah. Trey Jones is not giving you much on offensive end. Zion.
Doing all the dirty work. And, like, you could see towards the end of the game when Michigan State started to figure it out, and, like, they were really just one guy would front him in the post, and, like, you do just have the backside help, and it was impossible to throw it in. And then, you know, Trey Jones isn't going to shoot that three in the corner. Like, so it was
and
just.
What translates? And that's going to translate to the league because you got all guys around
spacing.
You that are capable.
Spacing. And he can beat you. Like, when people say, like, just like you said, like, his handle isn't up to point. Like, who's taking the ball from him? Have you seen somebody take the ball from him just clean this year? Just like, oh, that's mine because you can't dribble.
His shit is
like,
tight.
You got to sound simple. Like, but
is solid enough for what he does on the court. Yeah. Like, it's not like he's going to come up the court and somebody's taking the ball from him, or, you know, somebody sitting in the stance and not letting him get to work.
And as a defender, if you reach on somebody that fast and strong and you don't get it, hey, you just put your whole defense just now at a disadvantage.
Yeah, but that, I mean, y'all see, man, our Zion stock here is high. Like,
yeah, I'm buying all of it. You trying to sell your Zion stock? Let me get it.
It's transcending. Like, you can't. People really are ignoring what their eyes are showing. Like, you see it. Yeah. Why are you saying, like, he's dominating in ways that can't be physically stopped by other humans? So why are you saying, oh, it's not going to translate?
Came
that
back in the sense. ACC tournament, went 13 for 13, 29 points, and had 31 against UNC. 21.
That's what he's perfect for now. Leave Zion alone, man. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that.
21 in the final, 25 in the first round of the NCAA tournament, 32, 23, 24. Like,
yeah, he be acting all the way up, man. Yeah. All the way up. But Zion Williamson, man, wish him the best of luck in his career. Somebody said he was coming back. They talking crazy. Somebody said Zion said he coming back. But it is crazy that these cameras be all in their face. Like, got cameras in his face and why he's in a locker room. Yeah. I'm like, damn, like, this kid just lost.
Only way Zion come back is if Coach K give him, like, half his salary and his name is in the gym, the Zion Williamson gym.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gym,
like, nothing else. He ain't coming back. That man got M's on the table. Yeah. But we just want to end on the this note, a little NBA note. I saw something earlier. It's an ESPN article talking about who would be the better free agent. You know, free agency is coming around. So who would be the better free agent out of Kyrie and Kemba?
Okay.
Kyrie and Kemba. So you touch on that first. Like, before you touch on that, I just want to bring up how before you guys jump on, Kyrie – it ain't even close. Kyrie got a chip. Like, Kyrie, blah, blah, blah. This is something. Like, this is an argument. This is the debate. That dude be cooking in Charlotte. Like, and it's just Charlotte. So, what do you think about Kyrie Campbell? Who you take moving forward?
So, surface level numbers aside, just like you said, Kyrie's had the opportunity to play with LeBron James and then also has the opportunity to play in Boston under Brad Stevens. Comparing that just as to what Kemba has to deal with on a year-to-year basis, guys like Jeremy Lamb, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you know what I mean? So his team is nowhere up to par. So he has to take, of the 20 shots, you said he takes 20 shots a night, right?
Right.
Like, a lot of those are all of the eyes of defensive fix for him. Like, they're contested tough shots, like late in the shot clock, you know what I mean? Like, where
still
he has to create stuff.
A night.
With Kyrie, like, I think at the end of the conversation, I'm still going to end up taking Kyrie, but it just because of the size aspect of it, pause. But, like, he's, what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Kyrie's a good 6'3". Kemba probably just touching 6'1".
And so at the end of the day, like at the other end of the floor, like, you have to cod Kemba a little bit more. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I take Kyrie over Kemba. But I just remember having a – you know, convo with my right-hand man, Fish, he was saying, yeah, Kemba. And I was like, yo, there's no way. I'm like, there's not even a comparison. This was before the year, but it's definitely a comparison. And I also saw something that said, Kemba, he may be, like, one of the better point guards in the league. He could just be playing in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But to address your question.
Let me, right before you start, so this year it's 25, 6, and 4 for Kemba.
25, 6, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie's 24. 23.9, so 24-7. I don't know how many boards he averages. But I know Kyrie shoots 49 from the field, 40 from three, and 87 from the free throw. So he's super efficient.
Yeah, rebounds, which is better.
Yeah, but those, like, are all reasons why I would take Kyrie. Like, he's super efficient. You see that there. But, yeah, like you said, bigger guard. You got a high Kemba more than you probably have to high Kyrie, even though they're both not, you know, great defenders. But,
Kemba's a little bit more of a liability, and it's a little bit harder to do. Like,
he's way less efficient, too. Yeah. We should say that, because I'm a big thing on efficiency. And if Kemba's shooting 42% from the field, Kyrie's shooting 49%, that's 7 points difference. And
yeah, that's not Kemba's just all just teammate shots.
And,
yeah.
Kemba's only averaging one more point over, you know, he's averaging one more point and shooting one more shot. So, I mean, it's not like they shoot basically the same amount of shots, they score the same amount of points, and Kyrie's just way more efficient at it. So, you know, that's why I would go Kyrie. But the dude, Kemba, he needs his respect. Like, he got one of the coldest snatches, hezzies. He got one of the coldest handles I've ever seen to create space. Like, he got that straight, I'm from New York, you can't guard me, like, Kamara, like, I'm, he, like, getting crazy with you. Like, so, Kemba is definitely like a force to be reckoned with. I want to see where he goes though. Like,
where would you like to see him? Of the cities that you think that are vying for Kemba? Because a lot of people aren't going to give him the max, man. Like, I love Kemba.
You don't think so?
But somebody going to top, like the teams that he would want to go to that could win. Like, yeah, if you want to. So maybe New York, but I think Kyrie goes to New York. If New York, who you're taking, Kyrie or Kemba?
I already told you I'm taking Kyrie, yeah, but I'm saying, like, would I like, you don't think Kemba, you don't think they'll throw him a max if they don't get Kyrie? I think they would.
Yeah, I guess they would, yeah. You have to give it to somebody.
Why not? He's fucking
dumb. Yeah, you have to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
But I just, if you're the Lakers, would you, if you don't end up with AD or, Kyrie.
Dame's not a free agent, right?
No, Dame said, and he's already staying in Portland. He's made that very clear.
Kemba, I would take him. I would throw him a max in my Magic. I mean,
do you think Kemba and LeBron could work? Like, maybe this, we don't have to go that deep into it.
Him and Kyrie work. And that's the same. It's the same type of vibe. It's a little killer that's just going to get buckets right next to you. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a scoring point guard. He can get guys involved. But his real skill out there is to go get a bucket. And, yeah, he can fill LeBron. I would love to see him go to L.A., the Lakers. I'd love to see him go to the Knicks, like you said. I think he'd be a good fit in. I ain't going to say it. Good fit in Philly. What do you think? I mean, you have to move Ben off the one, yeah. And then you have to.
It would stunt everything that we've been doing.
Yeah. But think about you go Kemba at the one, Jimmy at the two, Tobias at the three, Ben at the four, and Pete at the five. Yeah. And Ben in like that Draymond role where he's just getting everybody involved. And Kemba just going crazy at the one, but Kemba can guard point guards. Yeah. Like, he's not a lockdown defender, but at least you can put him on a Kyrie, a Terry Rozier. You know what I mean? And he going to go get that 22, that 23. If he's on our team, obviously you score a little less because we got more guys. But
I think it's big for just
I don't even know why I said you can. There's no way you pay all those guys. You can't. You literally have no. You probably have JJ Redick on the bench.
Yeah.
You have no bench. There's no way you can pay all those guys. But
yeah, I think just to close our conversation, I think I'm taking Kyrie. But it's just tough, man. Like,
I mean,
because you see what a guy can do, and you don't want to just discredit everything. But when it comes to these two in particular, the conversation asked, like, it's just Kyrie every
last
time.
Last thing from that convo, I'm kind of going to end it there. I want to say a couple things to end it. But Kemba, I mean, we don't see Kemba as much. So it's kind of like the natural. Like, we don't see him on national television. Like, we don't see the Hornets on ESPN like we see the Celtics, right? You don't see him all the time. You only see him when he's playing your team, and you don't watch him on a nightly basis how he's really, you know, you see SportsCenter highlights, but you're not watching every play like how you can watch if the Celtics are playing the Sixers on ESPN or Celtics are playing the Raptors or whatever. Like, the Hornets aren't a pop in the mainstream team in the league.
Yeah.
But.
And it doesn't help. Yeah, they were kind of trying to get after that Jeremy Lamb game winner against Toronto. Just fight for that AC. But
where are they at? Where are they at right now? What's the bottom of the East look like?
Give me 1 second. I'll pull it up.
I know Detroit 6 and I know Brooklyn 7. But who's that 8? Because I know it was Orlando. It was Miami. It was
So right Charlotte. Now at the bottom of the East, Miami's sitting at 38 and 38.
Are they 8?
Yeah. The Magic are at 38 and 39. And then the Hornets are at 35 and 41.
Miami's going to get it.
Yeah, Miami's gonna get him. It's just,
I don't even know the schedule, but I just feel like it's Destiny D-Weed. But it's like almost like I saw someone earlier that said they wanted the Magic to get in just because Magic haven't been there for so long. Yeah, how much did it mean to be that area?
Yeah.
Or whatever, like
all the old people that live in Orlando.
But yeah, just to wrap it all up, we did a a poll, contest, whatever you want to call it on Twitter, and we got a couple of responses, and basically all I was asking for is you guys to show your support and show that you've subscribed or whatever, send us a screenshot or even just tag us in a post. We're giving out a prize of just $25 to whoever,
yeah, Cash App Mondays, baby. TNT Mondays,
Cash App Mondays. So we're showing love to y'all for showing love to us, just returning that. So tomorrow or today's Monday, yeah. So it'll be out today. What's today? April Fool's Day.
Yeah,
April Fool's. We ain't playing no tricks though. We gonna send that bread.
No game.
We gonna look out. But yeah, you get the gist of it. We're gonna do that tomorrow. We'll do a live video on IG.
Yeah, and we'll pick names that I had, and then hit your Cash App. Just $25
to hit you up. We'll be doing different things every day. So just if you guys are supporting us, we definitely appreciate that, and we want to show that. So. We'll keep, doing different creative things moving forward. But this is just, something we wanted to start with. And the last thing, and so I'm running my mouth right now, but the last thing is we posted a tweet that said, you know, give us a couple topics if you want to hear us talk about some things so you guys can be more interactive with us. And, you know, if you had anything come in your mind, you want to hear us talk about it on the pod, just hit us up. You know,
we'll feel talk free, about man. It. Like, yeah, we are never too good to hear some talks today. Like, just to be honest, it's a slow news week. Yeah. So we're waiting and loving things that come in. So shout out to Malik. Shout out to our friend groups that have been giving us suggestions and feedback.
Actually, we should run it down, man. I mean, we're just about done here wrapping it up. Let's run down who we got tomorrow to build some suspense. So you have, we got Aaron Burrows, my boy Aaron Burrows doing it. We got Ryan Callahan, we got Brett Barron, James Smith, Joe Revis. What's your boy's name?
Matt Ruiz, Chooch. I mean,
Chooch, y'all call him Chooch? That's tough. And two other people. I know they're going to be GG and who else? One more guy. We leaving you out. Don't be mad at us.
Yeah. Oh, my guy DB entered late, too. He sent me a screenshot He subscribed to the pod. So right now it's currently
sitting at B. Lair 4. I didn't forget you, but yeah, your he boy did, too. So we got a couple guys in it. We're going to pull that out of a hat, like we said earlier.
11% odds right now.
Let's build that suspense, man. Somebody getting that bread, man. TNT Hoops, though.
TNT Hoops.
We out.